Joining us on the show today are Callum and Ewan, the brothers who make up UK's genre-defined duo Bad Sounds. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for jumping in. We like to start the same way every week and find out what you guys have been listening to. So what's been spinning in your playlist on Spotify or Apple Music, or if you've had some vinyl on recently, what's been catching your ear?
I guarantee it will be very different between what Ewan's listening to and what I'm listening to.
Great, that's all live. That makes it way better.
Ewan, do you want to go first, or should I? You look like you're...
You go first. I'm scanning through my kind of recently added.
I have been obsessing over the Lemon Twigs since January. They started releasing stuff for their new album. And I kind of missed the Everything Harmony album that came out last year. And yeah, so I kind of discovered that in January, and I've been listening to that nonstop ever since. I've been going through a big shoegaze phase again. So I've been listening to lots of like Cocteau Twins and what else? And I love jazz. So lots of Grant Green and Horace Silver. Yeah, so that's kind of what's been going on in my house.
I've been pretty sporadic. I don't think I'm really having a thing that I'm like obsessed with at the minute. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of just like listening to a bit. I kind of have been listening to Alabama Shakespeare, which I've never listened to before. I totally missed that when it happened. You know, obviously I knew what it was, but I'd never really like listened to the record or anything. So I've been listening to that a bit, and Cleo Soul, and I feel like the stuff that's quite like not that unexpected. Do you know what I mean? I feel like quite playlisty stuff, maybe.
I feel like, I mean, I would say it's all pretty unexpected in the sense that that's a pretty broad like spread across everything, from shoegaze to jazz to Alabama Shakes. Like, that's unexpected in that sense. It covers a lot of areas.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I feel like I went through a really big phase like last year, I guess, where I got really like deep into Bandcamp obscurity. And I feel like every time someone asked me that question, I had a much more pretentious answer. And I'm a little embarrassed about how unpretentious my answer is there. So, yeah.
That's all right. We love that question, because every time you'll get like such a spread, and you'll get some artists where you're like, they'll come in with the most pretentious thing, and they're like, yeah, I'm in my Katy Perry era at the moment, and you're like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. That makes sense, I guess.
One thing I would say is I want to check out, I think Adrian Lenker's solo album comes out either today or by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be out, and I haven't listened to that. I've heard the single and I loved it.
I listened to that yesterday too, actually. There we go. We're on the same.
Great.
We've got one match.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have one. Before we sort of start chatting about the latest EP that you guys have dropped, and probably rightly off the back of such a diverse spread of music that you guys have been listening to, whenever I've been trying to describe bad sounds to my friends, you know, it's been an absolute nightmare trying to make it an easy way to describe the band. How do you guys describe your output kind of in that elevator pitch way?
Well,
you just don't say it to anybody. You just say, go check it out or something.
Yeah, I just find it impossible to describe. I think it's the same for any artist, even if they fit like perfectly into sort of the cookie cutter mold of a specific genre. I think it's hard to be to have perspective on that. But I find it especially hard with us.
Well, I'm kind of like, so I'm in my my dad era at the minute, where I'm you know, doing like nursery drop off and stuff like that. And so sometimes when I end up talking to like other parents or something, there, it's kind of fairly rare for me that I'm having conversations with people who aren't semi involved in music. So whenever it's them, I just say pop. But then I walk away thinking they're gonna think it's like Katy Perry or something. So but I don't know. I feel like maybe alt pop, but that's such a broad thing, isn't it? It's just
You should start selling it. It's just like Katy Perry, guys. Like, just, you know, Teenage Dream 2.0.
I just think of boombox.
Yeah, come to the car, have a listen. Look, let's talk EP. The EP you guys have just released, "Escaping from a Violent Time" Volume 4. which, you know, for the first time over a four volume series of EPs, includes the title track. You know, this EP, this set of tracks feels a lot more intimate to us and a little bit less bombastic than some of the tracks that have been included on the previous three volumes. But for you guys, what was the through line that collected these specific tracks for this last volume of the EP set?
Well, it's interesting you mention that the song Escaping from a Violent Time is on this one. I think it's weird. We haven't even finished writing that song, and I always knew that I wanted it to close out the whole project. So it was kind of like that was the only thing while we were sort of trying to put track listings together and stuff that I knew like that was going to be there. And we did finish, I'd say, volume 3 and 4. We recorded and finished up at the same time. So we just wanted to make those two volumes as cohesive within themselves as possible. So, I mean, it's good to hear that it's sort of less bombastic. I feel like we're less bombastic as people were a little older, a little wiser than we were at the start of this saga. So that kind of fits in nicely. But surprisingly, like What Are You For, which is the first song on the EP, is... it might be one of the oldest sort of demos from the whole project. I think there was one on volume 3 as well that was a pretty early demo, More Than I Can Afford. But yeah, some of these songs have just sat with us and sort of, I don't know, we've never forgotten about them and then gone back to them to sort of make more sense of the whole thing as a project. And songs like Our Song, which is largely like my perspective from when Ewan had had a baby and how that changed him as a person in his life. But we wouldn't have been able to write that at the, you know, if he didn't have a kid.
Interesting that you mentioned there that volumes 3 and 4 were kind of collectively recorded in that same sort of set of sessions. How far apart were 3 and 4 from 1 and 2, and kind of were you able to mix and match between all four volumes, or were they kind of relatively distinct in that sense?
I kind of feel it's hard. Cal might correct me here, but I kind of think we almost had all of them, maybe not totally finished, but we had all of them, and then we kind of like we knew some of them we were going to save to the end, but then we were kind of like working out with each EP, like what it's almost like we had a focus track for each EP, and then we kind of like built the rest or like worked out what tunes would go around it. But like Callum said, I think some of them are like really old demos that started ages ago that have been re-recorded, or maybe even just like built on top of the recording. But a lot of the stuff over all these EPs have been sort of like slowly chipped away at for like years, which is quite odd because now we do a lot of songwriting and production stuff, and that's normally like the song has to be written and finished within 2 days, and it's sort of like maybe you get like an extra day to come back and do tweaks. But so many of these have been like had a couple of days of us working in the studio, or like maybe we're on tour and we're on headphones in the bus, just sort of like trying out different drum sounds and just doing like little tweaks as they go. So it's kind of, they're all sort of part of the same era, but it's kind of, they're not necessarily one session or one time, if you know what I mean. It's kind of, I feel the thing that's nice about it is I listen to it and I'm like, I have no idea when we did that or when that happened, you know what I mean? It's just sort of, it all comes together.
That would be true for me if we'd done it yesterday. My memory
yeah,
is
true.
Is it, you know, you mentioned that you've got both sides of, you've worked both sides where you've, you know, you've got years, months, years to create and hone your own EPs, and then you're working with other artists and producing other artists and songwriting for other artists where it has to be, you know, snappy and punched out. How do you feel like, you know, you two as songwriters work better in the sense of like, do you perform better under pressure? Do you like to sort of take the time? How do you prefer your stuff?
I think we're exact opposites, and it's doing it with other people has highlighted that, I think, because I think, again, feel free to correct me here, Callum, but I would say I'm quite spur of the moment, and maybe like in my head, the whole thing is done in like 20 minutes, like in terms of like the song being written, the kind of general vibe, and you know, that's fine. And I kind of feel like, you know, if I like it, I just be like, okay, cool. Whereas I think Callum is much more about like finessing and finding out each possible avenue about what could feel better or worse, or what's just like a different take on it. So I feel like Callum will often maybe take something that we've started in a bit of spur at the moment and sort of see what different angles we can put on it. So I think we kind of like even out into like one whole with that. Do you think that's fair, Kat?
I think that's fair. I think I also think it's worth saying this is really pretentious, but it depends on what your view of better is, because that, you know, that's like a workflow preference rather than, you know, one person might hear a more raw sort of one day's work and really like it because it sounds raw, and another person might labor over something for 3 months and it sound quite slick, and one group of people will love it because it's been labored over and it's really like it's really honed in, and you know, that other group may hate it because of that. They just want to hear something that's a bit more visceral. So it's all subjective.
But I don't know though. It's not like you or someone spending more work on it necessarily sounds like they have. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like it.
No, like that's my point. It's just subjective to taste.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess like maybe the way I'd say it is sort of like, I don't know. I feel like Callum is always the person that's like, I feel like we can get more out of this. And I'm always the person that's like, I think I'm ready to go home.
As long as there's no tension in the sessions, you know, that's the main thing. As long as there's no fist fights.
No,
I don't think that. I mean, we're like brothers and best friends that have been friends. So I feel like we're very aware of each other's quirks. I think one thing maybe it's not something we've got better at. It's something we get better and worse at all the time. It's just being like, okay, I'll leave you to do this for a bit. And, you know, I'll go have a coffee for an hour or so. And I think like, you know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we've got to leave the other room to do that. But, you know, that's just part of any relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that comes from it's not off. When it was the first records, we felt like we both had so much at stake with it that we both wanted to be a part of every single second of it. And I think we've worked on so many different projects now, and we've made so much music together that I guess we don't feel like we have to prove to each other that we're, you know, I'm part of this too. You know, it's like it just works. We both just want the best outcome.
Look, yeah. Better than the Gallagher brother approach where, you know, you're literally throwing guitars at each other backstage, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we've never been that way as brothers, so it's kind of it just works.
Yeah. I genuinely think the only time we've ever like fallen out in the studio is when we both just really want it to be great and like are getting, you know, frustrated that we haven't quite got it there yet. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And normally when we've tried like 10 options and it's still not there. And and I think we're both aware of that too. So
you guys have also just announced an upcoming album, also titled Escaping from a Violent Time, which is set to be a bit of a greatest hits collection over the last four EPs, as well as a new track. What kind of led to the way that you released the album, the EPs, and then the album as kind of this kind of, you know, all-in collection? What was the spark for that?
So I think when we started the project, we didn't want to do another album. It was like, it just didn't seem to make sense in the sort of streaming era. It didn't seem like, outside of record buyers, which we are, it just didn't really seem that people were listening to our music that way. So I guess we were trying to be modern. But it has worked. You know, we've released this series of EPs over a series of years, I think because we've been busy with other projects, it's taken longer than we originally anticipated. But we were coming to the end. Maybe it was when we were starting to think about volume three, and we were like, well, we could maybe do some kind of box set where it's like each EP is a 10-inch or something. And then it just, the more we thought about it, the more it would be like, well, actually, there are songs that I really love off of each EP and songs that I wouldn't mind or like just don't really fit if it did like run through them in one long go. So we decided to just sort of cherry pick our favorite bits and try and make a really cohesive album out of the majority of the EPs. And there's a new song on there as well, which is our manager's favorite. I think he just likes a big loud song. So so that's been his favorite for years now. So that's, you know, that's also on there and it's not on the EPs. So yeah.
Yeah, I think to be honest, we just didn't really have a great experience of doing our first album, like the release of it anyway. Sorry, like loved recording it and really proud of it and everything. But it felt like there was this whole build up until the album. And then as soon as the album came out, it was like, I don't know, it just stopped getting pushed or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I think for us, we were trying to kind of like find a better way to navigate that. Because obviously, like, it's a lot of work to do a record, and you put so much stress into like getting all the details right, and then you feel like maybe like only 25% of that actually gets like shown in any light for people, as you know, especially like in the streaming world. But like Cal said, we love making records, so yeah. I actually, when I think about it, Cal, I don't think we ever wanted to do it as an album, right? That was kind of the label that said maybe we should combine it as a sort of greatest hits at the end. Like, I think we just wanted to do the EPs.
We did want to do the EPs, but we wanted a physical release.
Yeah, then, that's right. Yeah.
Would there be, obviously, as you guys mentioned, there's, you know, more than another album's worth of tracks that won't make the final album's cut. Will we ever see maybe a director's cut, you know, full physical release or something along those lines?
I'd love to see that. never say never, but I mean, there's nothing planned right now, but I'd like to do it. It'd be great. I can really see the box set. It'd be wicked.
The material would be incredible.
Like a big old school movie, like horror movie poster with the whole thing like tucked inside. That'd be awesome.
That sounds like a theatrical roadshow. You know, like they'd bring a marquee event at the local cinema, and you'd go in and it'd be all on.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Obviously, you've had over 4 years now of working through the volumes and then the albums in the can. This is a huge opportunity to sort of see what comes next for the band. Do you guys have an idea of what you want to do following this and how you might re-explore songwriting or re-explore the sound of the band?
I think the thing... Oh, sorry, did you want to go?
No, you can go if you want.
I think since we've started writing with other artists, it's really shaped the way that we make our own music. So I think the more we do that, the more we kind of... Like, sometimes we get really inspired to do our own stuff, and other times it can be quite disheartening because you realize how many people are trying to... Or I'm not competing with, but just how much music goes up on Spotify every day and stuff. So we flip back and forth between really wanting to push on to the next thing and discover what we're going to do next. And I think we have probably two or three things that we're excited about that we really love, but there's not a clear path for us yet, I don't think, for the next thing.
Yeah, we do have like other things that we've kind of started, like I guess you'd call them side projects without sounding like you know,
the expanded either, bad but, sounds universe.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a few things like that I feel like are basically finished. We've just never really like had the time between projects to really like focus on releasing them. Because I think another thing like I'd add to Callum saying about us working with a lot of other people. does make you realize, like, you know, you need a team to help you release something and for it to actually get the what's the attention you hope it deserves, at least, or at least have a chance of it. And I think, like, you know, we're keen for the things we've done that we think are really strong to get people around them and try and, like, do it as a proper thing rather than just upload it somewhere. And you know, not saying there's anything wrong with that, because sometimes I'm totally into doing it that way, but I think some of this stuff feels like, you know, there's a world to be built around it before it comes out. So I think we'll probably look at some of that stuff after this.
Sounds very exciting.
Also just realized how much I hate my own voice compared to, like, the other singers that we've worked with. It's like, wow, they are a cut above what we need to.
Hardly. Have you, you know, when you've been working with these other artists, you know, you mentioned you've figured out a lot about songwriting and how to produce tracks. Is there anything that you've taken back and gone, no, we always did this better? Like, this was our thing and we've brought it to them.
I don't know if it's like we brought it to them, but I think me personally, I think it went through a bit of maybe the first year or so, a feeling like trying to think about, so say we're working with an artist that's just come in, try and be like, okay, well, where should they sit? What do their contemporary sound like? And trying to make sure they feel like that. And I think, like, once we've done that a few times, you just start to realize you make something pretty average and pretty boring that just kind of sits in, you know, like, no one cares. So I think one thing I've kind of relearned is it's sort of like you've got to find the thing that's, like, unique and really, like, nail on that and kind of not care what anybody else is doing. And I find, like, when we've done that, those are the things that have been the most exciting. And obviously, like, you know, that can't happen every time. But I feel like we're definitely pushing for it every time now. And I'd rather away with something where we went for something really interesting and cool, but it came out rubbish, rather than go for something really beige and achieve it right now, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The things that we're most proud of that we've done have been the things that we've taken a bit of a risk on. And we've kind of gone out of our comfort zone, or we've just doubled down on what we just our actual tastes rather than chasing what somebody else's idea of what something should sound like. And Bad Sounds has never really done that. So I guess that would be the sort of connecting thing. It's like just being really stubborn.
I think the thing that is so much easier to do that in Bad Sounds, because it's we're the kind of, we had final say. Whereas now you're sort of like, I wish the only thing you had to think about was how is the audience going to take this? And does the other person in the room really like it too? But I feel like after doing it a few times, you do start to get that voice being like, how's the A&R going to react to this? How's the manager going to react to this? And then you've kind of got to go through their notes, staying on good terms with all of them, whereas at the same time, trying not to, like, just kind of castrate all the originality from the thing you've done. And it's kind of like trying to serve multiple people at the same time sometimes, and a lot of the time it feels conflicting.
A fun balancing act.
But
the yucky side of writing.
Yeah, but I do think, like, sorry, I'm like going on about this, but I do kind of think, like, it's when you try to be too clever with things like that and try to guess what people are going to think about it before it's finished, that's where you start making the mistakes. And the only thing you can really trust is how you're feeling about it, and then accept that they might not like it, or they might, but you can never really, you know, I've definitely had it before where I've sent something over and been like, they're all going to hate this, and everybody comes back really into it. So yeah. And had it the other way as well. So,
well, look, as long as you're swinging big, you know, you miss me as long as you're swinging big.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, one final question. You know, you're off the back of these big drops. Will you be hitting the stages soon? And, you know, will that include some international touring? Is there a chance we could see Bad Sounds hitting the stage down under, you know, after a very quick and easy 17-hour flight?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. We've never been, and we have family in Australia. Yeah, we'd love to. There's no plans for that. But hey, call us, you know.
I'm just swinging big here. I'm taking some notes from the
Yeah,
fellas.
no.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure
Yeah.
our auntie Tina and Rachel would love to see us down there.
Yeah, it's something we would love to do. It's just, I don't, if I'm totally honest, since COVID, we've just never managed to get back on a regular kind of touring schedule. And we would love, you know, there's, we would love to. I just think we just don't want to do like a toilet tour again. But you know, Callum does a lot of touring. So Cal plays in, do you know, Willie J. Healy? Cal plays keyboard and guitar in his live band. So Cal's still got to sort of scratch that itch a bit.
You see in the world.
And
And I
so
see it in
I
my
love
house.
playing that.
I think it's a it's a let's pencil you in as a definite and then we'll be fine. We'll make it work from there. Well, Bad Sound's latest EP, Escaping from a Violent Time, Volume 4, is out now. So listen in wherever you get your music. And their upcoming album, also entitled Escaping from a Violent Time, is set to release on May 10. So make sure you get around it when it drops. Callum, Ewan, thank you for taking so much time to have a chat with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Oh,
Thanks
no
for having
stress.
us.
Thank you for having us.